Maximizing human performance is the theme of this year's AOA convocation, led by the one and only Dr. Saj Survey. He has a lineup of all-star physicians sharing their knowledge and skill set of treating high-performing professionals. Enjoy our conversation as he fills us in on the speakers' backgrounds and the topics of their lectures and labs. This is episode 94 of the Osteopathic Manipulative Medicine Podcast, where we share clinical stories and pearls related to osteopathic medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ben Green, a third-year osteopathic neuromusculoskeletal medicine resident at Michigan State University. We have a friend of the podcast coming on for the third time this evening, and this year's program chair of the AOA Convocation, here to promote and highlight this event with the theme of maximizing human performance. He himself has been a performing arts medicine clinician since 2007. He apprenticed under Dr. Richard M. Bachrach, the renowned performing arts medicine physician in Manhattan, New York. He is the preeminent performing arts medicine physician in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, treating performers of all disciplines and skill levels. He is the co-director of the UNT Center for Performing Arts Health and the music medical provider for the UNT College of Music and Crossman Drum Corps, as well as the dance medicine provider for Texas Ballet Theater and Texas Christian University. In 2019, he founded the world's first physician fellowship for performing arts medicine at HSC. Thanks for coming back on the podcast this evening, Dr. Saj Survey.
Hey, Ben, it's good to be back for the three-peat.
The three-peat, the first person on this podcast to be on three times.
I am honored. It's an honor and a privilege to be here.
The honor is all mine. And I really appreciate you taking time to highlight and promote this year's convocation. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. So what would you like to know about convocation?
Well, Actually, before we get into convocation, I thought, man, you know, last time Dr. Survey was at Michigan State University, like a month ago, teaching us a performing arts medicine course, he started everything out with a song.
I did.
You don't have to sing. It would be great, but you don't have to sing.
Yeah, I don't have my uke with me, unfortunately, but, you know, maybe I'll take a rain check on that.
Yeah. The convocation this year, first question I really wanted to ask you, because I think it's a very unique theme, maximizing human performance. And you mentioned in your introductory video on the AOA Convo website that osteopathy historically and primarily were treating people with injury or illness. But in this year's convo, you wanted to maximize human performance, and you're looking to do that with first responders, military, athletes, dancers, musicians. So why is this topic so important to you?
Well, obviously, you know, with my background as a performing arts medicine clinician, this is a topic that's near and dear to my heart. And, you know, I thought originally about making the whole thing about performing arts medicine, just making it the whole theme, performing arts medicine. Eventually, I talked myself out of that as a theme for a couple of reasons. Number one, I didn't want it to be too polarizing. You know, it's like if people come to convocation for various things and they say, I don't really care about performing artists, then they may just not come, right? So I definitely didn't want that. Also, too, you know, in thinking about it, I had to do a little bit of soul searching to try to understand what is it about performing artists that is so appealing to me, and to see if there was an opportunity to generalize that a little bit more. And so in thinking about things, I came to realize that it's, you know, it really comes down to two things. One is the special populations piece. you know, my goal was to introduce different populations to the attendees of convocation than you might normally see, and to just say, just recognize that these different populations exist and they have really specific needs, and that we as osteopathic physicians, and specifically people who are specialists in OMT, you know, have a whole lot to offer these populations. So I really wanted to highlight that fact that, you know, we have this skill set, and we may be maybe missing audiences that we could potentially be reaching out to, you know, as OMM clinicians. So I wanted to just kind of shine a spotlight on that. And then the other side of it was the maximizing part, as you mentioned, and as we mentioned in the video, that, you know, a lot of times, you know, you do the strength testing, you know, you come in, patients say, oh, my back hurts, so you say, okay, let's do a neuro exam, and you do your testing, and they come out, you know, 5 out of 5 strength on all their limbs, and then you say, okay, well, you're normal, so you're fine, you know, and in most cases, that's probably true. But then you think about these folks, the athletes, the performers, the military folks. You know, there is a large gap between being 5 out of 5 on a neuro exam and, you know, being able to be successfully employed as a professional athlete or a performer, or being able to serve in the military. So, you know, trying to close that gap to say, you know, not just, well, you're 5 out of 5, so you're fine. You know, to try to really understand, what does it take to work and operate at a professional level in these various settings, and how do we assess that, and how do we determine a good course of action to help get these folks back when they have injuries or problems that arise that prevent them from being able to do what they need to do.
I see. Now, you mentioned, you know, these special populations, mm-hmm. Military, first responders, professional athletes, and performing artists.
Mm-hmm.
And in past conversations that we've had, you've talked about how specifically the performing artists have been somewhat of a neglected community.
Mm-hmm.
And for various reasons, do you feel like is that different with these other fields, military, first responders, athletes? Are they being neglected? Is that as far as maximizing their potential? Is that somewhat of what you're getting at?
So, yeah, I mean, certainly the performers are a medically underserved community. I think that's without. That's not in question. When it comes to the military and those folks, I mean, they have resources through, you know, the VA and through TRICARE. And so, I mean, there are definitely investments in care for the armed service folks, whether they're active duty or retired military. And so I think they have access to care. But again, I think in a lot of the times, what the kind of care that's being done is more of a patch-up job, right? It's just sort of like, okay, let's just get you back out there, and not necessarily thinking through comprehensively like how we can best serve this soldier, or you know, to try to get them operating as best as they can. On the sports side, absolutely, there's a ton of infrastructure around athletes in terms of sports med. You know, there's a whole specialty of sports med, sports science, and sports psychology. And, you know, so there's a lot of resources around the athletes. But I feel like the athletic piece is sometimes not as represented in the OMM community. And so, you know, I wanted to bring some of that to the OMM community, because a lot of the times it's AOASM, right? It's the sports med folks who are running their own conferences, and putting on all the talks and the lectures. And so I thought it would be interesting to hear about taking care of that population from an NMM specialist, right? So it's like, what do we have to say about that population as opposed to hearing from the sportsman people about sports? So
interesting.
Yeah. So I just wanted to have a bit of a clearinghouse where people can, you know, hear these different perspectives and learn about these different groups and maybe walk away with a different appreciation that they didn't have when they came in.
Yeah. So it sounds to me like you're really talking about understanding, I mean, the relationship between structure and function. But in order to help these people, you really need to have a profound understanding of their day-to-day lifestyle, of their profession, of their art.
Absolutely. And that was actually part of my explicit instructions to the people that I asked to speak, was, you know, help the audience understand what these populations have to deal with, and what are the questions they need to ask? What are the things that they might not know that they need to know to take care of this population? You know, that was explicitly my ask from those folks. So I think that that's what's going to be delivered. I certainly hope so.
Sure.
I'm kidding.
Sure.
It'll be great.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm greatly, greatly looking forward to it. So you talked about the perspective that an OMM provider can bring, or the lens that they may look at these specific populations. Mm-hmm. What is it, and this is kind of a general question, what is it that an OMM provider brings to the table when analyzing a professional athlete, a performing artist, a first responder, a soldier? And that's a tough question, because I'm sure it's each one of those fields is different, but I guess how would you answer that question?
Yeah, it's not that tough. I think they're all the same. I think what we bring is the same, which is just the perspective, right? And perspective and the skill set. I think OMM specialists have an excellent skill set of being able to put your hands on somebody and feel when the body's not functioning optimally. And also to be able to observe and watch people do what they do. And say, hey, I'm noticing that something is not right, you know, in that region of the body, or hey, they're compensating when they do these motions. That's a really difficult skill to teach somebody just like from the ground up. But when you're working with OMM specialists, it's a much easier skill, because you already have 90% of what you need. It's really just saying you already have most of the skills that you need to take care of these people. All you need is just a little bit of a push and a little bit of content knowledge to be able to be a really, really, deep intervention specialist with this group. And you mentioned our time together in at Michigan State, where we did a performing arts medicine workshops on the various aspects of performing arts medicine. You know, maybe I'll turn it back on to you to say, you know, after going through those couple of days that we were able to work together, you know, what did you feel was the takeaway thinking about performing artists and sort of them as a population in need of medical care?
What was the takeaway from that?
Yeah. Or I should say, like, did your perspective change at all thinking about performing artists as a population?
I think my big takeaways were being much more sensitive about the different structural problems that a performing artist, for example, a singer, would have, and how specific techniques to treat that. But because I'm not seeing a lot of performing artists in my clinic day to day, I have kind of translated some of those techniques to my everyday patients. For example, actually just today, I had a patient with pretty significant TMJ.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked on releasing the hyoid. And I did some of the muscle testing, seeing if it was coming from the sternohyoid, was it the omohyoid, was it the stylohyoid, and then really getting into the fascia there. And the tension, the myofascial tension at the root of the tongue, something that I was just completely oblivious to, but you helped me bring that into the forefront of my attention with singers, but also people with a TMJ. And so we did that, the deep root of the tongue, floor of the mouth, myofascial release, and did that tongue test that you showed us, which was, it was almost like a magic trick, you know? And I was working with a sports medicine physician who does OMT, and I showed him the technique, and he's like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. You know, I can't wait to use this on my patients that have TMJ or just grind or clench chronically. So I think, one, you helped me realize what were some of the pathologies that performing artists can have, these common overuse injuries, and two, how to treat it. I don't know if that answered your question or not.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think just building off of what you said, you know, it's kind of a twofold thing. You know, learning about these special populations is good in and of itself, just to be able to take care of one if they happen to come into your office, or if you're asking questions, hey, what do you do in your spare time? Oh, I play the guitar on the weekends or something. You know that, to be able to just capture that info and be able to ask the right questions. But the other side of it is the hope that, yeah, that there's a spillover, right? The things that you learn about this special population will also apply to the other folks that you see on a regular basis. So yeah, you pick up a technique here, a technique there. And to me, that's the beauty of convocation anyway, is that you get new perspectives and new things, new tools to put on your tool belt. So then when you go back to your patients and you see something, you say, oh, wait, this is the perfect chance to try that new thing I learned. So, you know, I think hopefully if we're using a population that folks may not spend a lot of time seeing, that they may get some things out of it that are more generally applicable.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Should we get into the all-star lineup that you have set up for us for this year's combo?
I would be happy to. I was waiting for this question because I came prepared. I've got receipts.
Nice. Nice. Can we start with or would you like to start with the pre-convo courses?
So the pre-convo courses are sort of set by the academy. So that's really not my bag. You know, obviously the courses are there. A lot of them are focused around cranial and work with the head. And so, you know, if folks are interested in checking those out, I would certainly encourage them to do that. But I don't have much say in those. They just are what they are. So yeah. I would think I can, my part picks up really with like Thursday morning. Wednesday, people arrive, there's some housekeeping things that happen, but really convo kicks off sort of officially with the opening reception that happens in the evening. And then there's the evening with the FAAOs that will occur. That is forum for the FAAOs to talk about a topic, and that's always a well attended session. Mm-hmm. And then in the evening is the evening with the stars and the mentorship program that happen every year. So those are excellent, and really to me kind of the heart of convocation, just being able to go and learn, and just more of an open informal setting, you know.
Sure.
But then Thursday hits, and that's really when I come in full swing, right?
Full swing, and yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And so so Thursday kicks off with our sort of athletics and sports day, I guess. So that the more athletics piece. There's a little bit of intro from me on the lecture side. And then we have a talk. We have a partnership with the OCA, the Osteopathic Cranial Academy. Mm-hmm. And because these lectures are going to be attended by everybody, so the students and the attendings. So we partnered with them and they asked and we agreed to put an introduction to osteopathy in the cranial field as an opening session for the students in the audience to just get them sort of interested and introduced to this topic and hopefully to want to learn more about, you know, treating the head and all the different cranial dysfunctions. So we have a speaker from the OCA who's going to come and talk about just an introduction to cranial concepts. So that will happen. And then we have our first sort of session with me. And I am so thrilled about this session. I cannot wait to sit in on this one. So this is something that I don't believe has ever been done from the convocation stage. So we have a trio of people who will be co-presenting for the entire time for the remainder of that morning.
Neat.
And okay. So we have three folks who are very much kindred spirits. So we have Mindy Hansen, Dr. Mindy Hansen, who is a triple boarded doc in family medicine, in OMM and sports medicine. So just, you know, complete overachiever. And then we have Natalie Hippolyte, who is also triple boarded in PM&R, OMM and sports medicine.
Wow.
And then we have Dr. Dante Paredes, who is double boarded in family medicine and OMM, but is also a certified strength and conditioning coach and kettlebell trainer.
And host of the podcast Rolling Bones, isn't he?
Yes, he also is the host of Rolling Bones. That is correct. And so the three of them are going to tag team and give us a talk on Strength Building 101 is what I call it. They have like a more fancy title for it, but I call it Strength Building 101. And so my goal with them is that the audience comes in. So to say, this is not exercise prescription, like, oh, you strained your quad, like do some quad stretches, right? It's more like, so we understand that telling patients they need to exercise or like they need to move more, or they need to build strength, or, you know what I mean? Like you need to get stronger. You know, how do you do that? Like the nuts and bolts, how do you get that mm-hmm. done? And how do you calibrate that for, you know, an 80-year-old lady who lives by herself and doesn't have access to anything, all the way up to, you know, a young, you know, semi-pro athlete who comes into your office, like for all the levels and all points in between. You know, how do you go about assessing their baseline fitness? How do you go about putting together a plan that's going to make sense to help them develop strength and calibrate that accordingly? And then how do you graduate them? So they are folks who are very used to just pulling people up from the audience and handing them a kettlebell and saying, okay, lift this thing, and kind of talking through form issues and like how do we counsel folks on this, how do we get them exercising. And so they've got a big block of time to just educate all of us on this topic, and they're going to tag team and kind of work as a trio to introduce topics, take questions from the audience, demonstrate things from the stage, then start a new topic, and just kind of back and forth. And so it should be a really interactive session and a really just enlightening session to be able to walk away from that with a really strong understanding of the fundamentals of strength building and exercise
physique. Oh, that sounds incredible. I'm going to be in the front row.
Yeah. Oh, be careful. You might get handed some weights.
Give me that kettlebell.
Yeah. And so I am super pumped about this session. And I've seen each of these folks talk about this topic in their own way. But to see, just imagine the three of them together, it defies explanation. Like, I just can't wait to see what this is going to be.
Oh, that's super exciting. I'm really looking forward to that.
So that's going to be the Thursday morning. And then after that is the business lunch. And then following the business lunch is the workshops. And so there will be the trio will have their respective work. So they'll split for the workshop side and mm-hmm. have their own independent workshops, but they're basically highlighting the topics that they're going to cover in the morning. So they're going to cover up. So one is covering sort of basics. One is covering more upper limb, upper cross issues, retraining. And then the other one's covering lower cross retraining principles. So if you find yourself gravitating towards one or the other topic, you can sign up for their workshops and do that.
Yeah, it's great.
Then something that's new for Convocation this year is that we have more workshops than lectures. So it used to be that everybody who did a lecture then did a workshop and like that was it. We've added additional workshops that are just workshops. And so the idea behind this was, if you recall from Convocation last year, there were some issues with overcrowding and just sort of a lot of people trying to find their way into these workshops. And so we definitely saw that was an issue and took some steps to troubleshoot that. So, what we have done is open up more space so that where the workshops are occurring, the room space will be double the size that it was last year. So that just, it'll be more comfortable, more people can attend. And we've also added more workshops so that the people will be hopefully divided among, more rooms. We've also created student-only workshops so that the students can have their own workshops to attend, so that hopefully that helps split out the numbers as well. So we've definitely taken a lot of steps to try to fix the ratios and make it a better experience for everybody attending these workshops. So we have the trio from the morning who lectured will have their opportunity to have their associated workshops. Also, we're going to have Jorge Aranda come in and talk about working with disabled populations. So he is kind of he's an international osteopath who runs the Hands with Heart Foundation, and is like this international figure for osteopathy. Does a lot of work with children and like wheelchair bound children and treating kids with really profound disability. And so, we wanted to have him come and talk about how to work with these folks, you know, how to navigate a wheelchair or how to, you know, maximize function in folks who have these disabling conditions. So that will be a really interesting workshop as well. Yeah. Also, Melita Marcial Schuster will be presenting on nutrition. So we're talking about, you know, the exercise side, but then I also wanted to be able to talk about nutrition counseling as well, because that's really important in the sports world and really everywhere. And so it's really a primer and an interactive session on, you know, what do you tell people about nutrition? How do you gather a nutrition history? What kind of things can you advise, you know? And it's not, nutrition is definitely a loaded topic. People
Yeah.
feel a certain way about it. This isn't necessarily to wade into that. But it's more the nuts and bolts of how do you open this topic with your patients and how do you counsel them? And how do you meet them where they are and try to encourage them to take nutrition into account and make better choices for their, you know, lifestyle. So that should be a really good interesting session. And then Dr. Jay Danto, who wrote the book Normalization of Muscle Function, will be presenting a workshop as well on that same topic. You know, just fit right perfectly in with the theme, you know, of maximizing performance. That's yep. really what he does. So he graciously agreed to present on that topic as well. So those will round out our Thursday workshops for the physicians. Dr. Willard will be talking as well and doing his workshop, but his is a special session. So people have to buy separate tickets to get to Dr. Willard's workshops. And then his workshops run sort of concurrently. So if you pay for that, it's almost like a conference within a conference. If you if you pay for that specific course, then you would just attend Dr. Willard's workshops, not the general workshops.
Got it. My problem is that I can't bilocate, or I can't trilocate. You know, I want to go to all these workshops.
You just got to clone yourself. And
Now the workshops are not recorded, are they?
I don't believe so, that they are. The lectures definitely are, but I don't believe the workshops are recorded.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. So really what you need to do is kind of divvy it up with like your friends and colleagues, like you attend that one and you attend that one, and then have like a debrief afterwards where you teach each other what you learned.
That's exactly what we will do. Yes.
Yeah. So then you can divide and conquer, right?
Exactly. That's great. So that's Thursday. What about anything else for Thursday?
So that's kind of it as far as the sort of main topic. After that, there'll be, again, the evening with the Stars and Stripes and the mentorship program. So, and then for the students, there's a student mixer that's happening. So there's other things happening, but as far as the main program, that is the end of it.
Got it. Okay. And then Friday.
Yeah. So that brings us to Friday. You know, this is rise and shine time. This is Performing Arts Medicine Day. So again, another day that I'm just pumped about for obvious reasons. And so kind of similar to what I presented for you guys at Michigan State, we're breaking it down by, you know, the different categories. So instrumentalists and dancers and vocalists. But instead of me talking, I brought like, you know, actual experts these topics.
I would consider you an expert, Dr.
Yeah, okay, you know, fine. But I brought in some ringers to round this thing out. So our first talk is with Stephen Fung. He is the current Performing Arts Medicine Fellow at HSC. So he is training to be a certified performing arts medicine specialist. So I figured what a great opportunity to have him come talk. So he'll present on just an overview and introduction to what is performing arts medicine. And so that should hopefully set the stage for everybody. See what I did there? Set the stage.
Set the stage.
Yeah, for for things to come. And so just talking about the history of it and the big picture, you know, overview of, you know, overuse injuries. These are the things that happen and just present these various topics. From there, we will hear from David Schaup, who is a doc at ATSU in Arizona, talking about the osteopathic care of instrumentalists. David is a fiddler and I dare say a mean fiddler. He plays a mean fiddle, and he will absolutely perform something before he talks. So that should be an outstanding session. Dr. Fung is a dancer. I don't know. Maybe he'll do some interpretive dance before his talk. I'll see if I can convince him to do something. So we'll hear about instrumentalists. Then Rebecca Fishman will come in and talk about the care of dancers and osteopathic care for dancers. And so she herself, a professional dancer for many years, also a professional singer. So has both of those things going, but going to talk about dance and how to assess and treat those. Then my partner in crime, Yane Lee, is going to come and talk about the care of vocalists. So she helps co-manage the UNT clinics and all the various clinics that we have through our center. And so she's going to present the voice topic for us. Nice. And then we will close it out. And I'm, again, super excited. We're bringing in Jay Sandweiss, who is a doc who has been involved with performing artists for decades, just kind of like one of the OG performing arts med guys in the country. And he's going to be giving a talk on osteopathic medicine for the touring performer. And so this should be a really great talk. It's going to kind of peel back the curtain on what it means to be a touring artist. So, you know, traveling on tour buses and sleeping in hotels and, you know, all the weird, you know, eating road food and like just food on the road and like, you know, burritos from a gas station. And, you know, how do you manage that? You know, like, how do you take care of these performers who are out on the road, you know, rock stars and band folks and singers and dance troupes who have to travel for a living. And so just talking about some of the rigors of that and some of the things that we can do as physicians to help this population. So that should be a really awesome talk. I'm excited to hear that.
What an interesting topic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
And so those same four, so Dr. Sandweiss, Dr. Schaup, Dr. Fishman, Dr. Lee, will all be presenting workshops as well on their respective topics. So that'll be four of the six topics. And then we have everyone's favorite, Todd Capistrant, will be presenting on FDM for the extremities, because performers, you know, dancers, musicians are really about a lot of it is about upper limb, lower limb. So mm-hmm. he's going to present on FDM for the extremities to give kind of a different perspective on treating extremities. And then we have David Cans, who's going to talk about extremity rebalancing. So to talk about more of a sort of fascial model, like long track fascial model for the limbs, and then more of an FDM approach for the limbs, and then a performing arts perspective on the limbs. So that way you kind of get all those different perspectives to choose from. So that's the Friday workshops and Friday sessions.
That's great. So Thursday sports, Friday performing arts.
Correct.
Wonderful.
Yep. And then at that point in the evening, that's when a lot of the alumni receptions happen. And again, there's a small Evening with the Stars type event. But yeah, so people tend to just split out on Friday evening. So we just give them space to do that.
Right.
And that brings us to Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday is a good one as well. Boy, we just get to keep the hits coming. So Saturday is our like military / special populations day. So we have a few talks. So kind of a tag team. We have Rob Agnello and Clay Walsh, who are both military folks.
Okay.
And so Rob is going to talk about kind of introduction to military medicine and giving a little bit of overview on, you know, what does it mean? Like what resources are in place for our military folks, talking about TRICARE and the VA system and, you know, like how that all works. And also a little bit of battlefield acupuncture. That is Rob's handy horse. He does a lot of work with battlefield acupuncture for, which is very rapid work that can be done for military folks. So mm-hmm. he'll talk about that. And then Clay Walsh will sort of pick up the ball with that and continue talking about more with the military as far as, you know, what kind of issues do they run into in terms of healthcare problems and what things that we can do as physicians to help take care of military folks who show up, you know, in our offices. So the two of them will kind of dovetail off of each other. And so that should be good. After that is the Harold A. Blood Memorial Lecture. That's a sort of lecture that's planned every year. And this year is Dr. Rich Feely will be giving that talk. So that should be a really good talk. And the Harold Blood Memorial Lecture is kind of an open lecture. The speaker can present on more or less whatever they want to talk about. So he basically has the floor to speak on a topic. And so, you know, we'll be curious to see what comes of that.
So we won't know until he gets up there.
Huh? Yeah, more or less. Yeah. Or at least I haven't seen it. So it'll be a mystery. The whole point is people are selected for Harold Blood because they're excellent speakers, right? So it's like, okay, let's give these folks a platform to be able to speak. And usually these talks end up being more of like a State of the Union type thing, just talking about the osteopathic profession writ large. And
sure.
So it's talking in bigger strokes, which is a good thing too. So I'm excited to hear Absolutely. That. And then we have James Aston, who's going to talk about correctional medicine. So dealing with folks who are either inmates or the wardens and guards who work in correctional facilities and taking care of those. That's a population that he's taken care of for the past several years. And he has a lot to talk about with those folks, because a lot of times, especially for the inmates themselves, they have really limited resources when it comes to healthcare. You know, they just like throw ibuprofen at them. So if you have the ability to use your hands and do some OMT, it's a really helpful thing to be able to provide care that doesn't have any extra overhead cost on it. So that's fantastic. Yeah.
That's great. So Dr. Aston is working, he's like a family med physician working in a prison, mm-hmm. and using OMT on the inmates as well.
Yeah. So he's a part of our HSC family medicine department.
Okay.
So he's a family med doc by training, but on like nights and weekends, we have a contract with some of the correctional facilities around us in Fort Worth. And so he goes and provides care to the inmates and also to the workers at those correctional facilities. So it'll be a really interesting insight, and maybe a population you like would never have thought of, you know?
So, true.
Yeah. And so that was what we were going for.
Great. Okay.
And so the afternoon then will be workshops. So Dr. Agnello, Dr. Aston, Dr. Walsh will all present workshops related to their topics. And then we're adding in a couple of extras. So we have Jen Rebar, who's going to talk about FDM for the military. So with Capistrans doing more of the extremity side. And so Jen will do more of the, more of the axial skeleton and the head and neck. So that if you're really into FDM between those two workshops, you can kind of get a good overview of it. And she is active duty military as well herself, so she can talk about how she uses FDM in the military settings and what techniques are high yield. And so that will be an extension of our talk for the military. And then we have Todd Dombrowski, who is going to talk about OMM for first responders. So he has a lot of paramedics and EMTs and firefighters and police officers that he has the opportunity to see. He's also a military doc himself as well. And so he will be able to provide some insight again on this special population that has specific needs. So that will be kind of a combination lecture/workshop. So talking a little bit about what the needs are for first responders and then providing some tips and techniques on how to treat those folks.
Yeah, that's great. Dr. Servet, how did you find all these people? Are these just people that you've known over the years?
Pretty much everyone on that I've mentioned so far are people I know, either very closely or close acquaintances of mine, who are just perfect fits for this. You know, once I realized that this was the topic, you know, first like human performance, and I kind of mapped it out to this broad strokes of athletes, performers, military, it kind of filled itself. I'm like, oh, military. Well, I know tons of military folks. Let's get those folks in here. So, it really just was an opportunity to showcase some people who are doing great work.
Yeah. Wonderful.
And so that is that. That evening then is the president's banquet and reception. So that'll be the, you know, the big formal event in the evening. And so that should be a good event as always. There's that requires separate tickets. One thing I will say, you know, historically, students have not attended this event as much just because it has some extra cost associated with it. You know, you got to buy a ticket. And so students are broke and they don't want to spend money if they don't have to. For me, I would love to see something where we get more students involved with the banquet, just because I think that's such an important thing for them to see. You know, just sort of the pageantry of it and people getting their FAAOs and you know, just like the keynote speech and everything else. So, you know, I would definitely encourage, they're going to start a process where people can donate tickets. So you can purchase a ticket for a student and donate it so that if students mm-hmm. want to attend, they can take one of the donated tickets to attend. And so I really hope that we step up as a profession and take full advantage of that opportunity to buy reception tickets for the students in attendance so that we can show them what the future of this profession is about. I remember so clearly when I attended my very first convocation, I went to at that time, students were just automatically given a ticket to the banquet. So we just went. And so I went to this banquet and then I didn't know what to expect. And all of a sudden people are playing bagpipes and they're coming in with regalia and like stuff is happening and they're talking about their achievements and they're granting them these FAO, putting this bling around their neck. And I was like, this is awesome. You know, like when I saw that for the first time, like I know for as a second year student, I made a vow to myself that day, like I will be an FAAO at some point. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
just seeing that truly was inspiring for me. And so it makes me a bit sad that so many students might be missing out on that opportunity. And so, yeah, I would love to see a nice, robust presence at the banquet with our students so that they can hopefully be similarly inspired. So I'll just make a plug for that donation process to donate tickets for students. So
how would that happen?
So when they get there, yeah, they can just purchase a ticket right at the when they get there to convocation.
But if people want to donate, if providers or whoever wants to donate tickets to students, do they buy a ticket and say, hey, this is a ticket, this is an extra ticket for a student?
Yes. And there'll be a mechanism for that right at registration. So they can just go to the registration and just purchase an extra ticket.
Perfect. Okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Wonderful.
And then that brings us over to Sunday morning. So Sunday morning is kind of often a time a lot of folks are, out, they were partying hard on Saturday. and then got to show up Sunday morning. So, what I figured is we would make this an opportunity to talk more about maximizing. So it's a bit of a stretch on the theme. You know, we talk about maximizing human performance and maximizing performance. I wanted to talk about maximizing the performance of the osteopathic profession. So kind of going a bit larger for Sunday. And so the morning, very first talk in the morning will be a really interesting panel discussion. And so we'll have representatives from various national organizations within the House of Osteopathic Medicine. So we'll have a rep from SAAO, a rep from ECOP, from the AAO, from the AOA. So kind of big, because a lot of those folks will be in town to be present at the banquet. So we'll give them the stage on Sunday morning, and it'll be a panel discussion around the question of how do we promote osteopathic medicine for the future? And so we'll be able to hear from the leadership of our profession and have a little bit of discussion around how do we promote this profession? How do we make it grow? How do we make our profession the best that it can be? And I'll serve as the facilitator for that panel discussion. So I'm not going to say much, but I'll just be the person sort of posing the questions to our panelists. So that should be a really insightful discussion. And my intent is to not contentious, but you know, poke people a bit to say, you know, hey, how do we, what do we do here? You know, not just be a reporting of things, to try to prompt more actual discussion around this topic.
So I absolutely love that topic. You know, that's a big passion of mine, promoting our profession, because I think, wow, we do a lot of good for a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
but it's really not well, I'm not sure if it's promoted or understood. A lot of osteopathic physicians don't use it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some disconnect. So I really appreciate that you're bringing up that topic of discussion, and we'll be facilitating the conversation. Yeah, we'll, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, and so I was saying all those topics are things that I want to air out. You know, how do we get more docs doing OMT? Like, where are we losing them, and how do we not lose them? And how do we promote, now that everything is merged up? You know, we have all these MDs who are out there who are, many of whom are really interested in what we have to offer. So how do we reach out to them and make lower the pathway to let them learn about what we do and get involved? And, you know, just all of these topics around promoting our profession. So I'm looking forward to that.
Now, will you be coming up with the questions, or if people have questions that they are interested in asking the panel, should they submit them to you or just say them? Will there be an open mic there for people to ask questions?
Yeah. So what I will probably do is have a few questions of my own to get us started. And then I'll have a QR code up while we're talking, so people can scan with their phone and then submit questions in real time. So then as the talk is going, I can see what people are presenting and just kind of summarize questions to the panel. So if I'm getting 10 different questions on the same topic, I can coalesce those into a single question for the panel to discuss. Mm. So that's how that will go.
Okay. I'm going to be there too, in the front row.
All right.
Getting a lot of questions from me.
That's okay. Yeah. We're here for it.
Yeah. That's great.
Following that, we're going to have a representative from the AOA, to the billing and coding rep from the AOA is going to come and present for an hour on the challenges of billing and coding for OMT. So talking about, you know, what are the struggles? How do we work around these? What kind of advocacy is out there? What resources are out there for us to advocate for ourselves, to get paid for what we do? And so that will be a presentation, and I've asked them to keep it shorter so that we can also segue into some Q&A on that too, so that the audience can ask questions about this topic. So that should also be a very robust talk and discussion.
Yeah, that's great. I'm interested.
Cool. And then after that, Becky Giusti is going to give an update on international osteopathy. So she's part of the OIC, the Osteopathic International, no, OIA, Osteopathic International Alliance. That's what it's called. And so that's the interface between American DOs and our counterparts around the world who are, you know, European trained DOs or South American trained DOs. And so she's going to kind of update us on not just our profession, you know, not just a U.S. centric view of our profession, to give us a more international view of our profession, to say what's happening worldwide in terms of osteopathic medicine, and hopefully expand people's horizons a bit as far as what's available to them. So that should be a really good talk. Yeah. And then closing it out. So I mentioned earlier that Jorge Aranda is giving a workshop. And so we're also going to give him an hour to talk. So he runs his organization called Hands with Heart. So we're going to give him an hour to kind of talk about the work that he does, because he's just such a great international ambassador for our profession and does really amazing work. So we gave him some space to talk about what he does and just share how he's promoting osteopathic medicine around the world. He does a ton of like mission trips and Doctors Without Borders, and just sort of to countries that are really struggling and providing osteopathic care to all those folks. So we just want to give him a platform to share all the beautiful work that he's doing.
Now, did you say he's a European osteopath?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Where is he practicing osteopathy?
That's a good question. Let me see if I can.
Hands with heart. Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd like to have every single one of these speakers come on the podcast and talk about.
Oh, there you go. You know, you can. You're like shopping right now for.
Dr. Server, I need every single one of these person's emails.
Okay, so he's based out. He's a base out of Costa Rica.
Oh, okay.
But I thought he was associated with Spain, and it looks like his funding is through Spain. So that's correct. But the Hands with Heart is based out of Costa Rica. But I'm pretty sure he's from Spain.
He's from Spain. Okay. Yeah.
And Dr. Aranda, if I mess that up, my apologies. and so after that, that will be the end of my portion. Then we will bring up Dr. Sean Maloney, who's the program chair for 2025 convocation. And so that'll be the closeout. So that'll be me passing the baton to him to say, you're up. And he'll have a couple of minutes to kind of talk about what he's envisioning for 2025 convocation to get people fired up about next year's, the following year's program. And then that'll be adjourning. That'll be the adjournment of convocation.
That'll be the journey. And then you can sleep and relax, de-stress, and go play your ukulele on the beach somewhere.
Oh, I'm bringing the uke. You better believe it. Yeah, the uke is coming to the Broadmoor.
That's awesome.
So you may see me noodling on that thing somewhere. Maybe at one of those fireside benches in the evening.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, we'll have a jam session.
Yeah. Roast marshmallows, make s'mores, and listen to you play the ukulele.
Yeah, I'm down. So that's cool. That's the program. What do you think? What questions you got?
I mean, I am super excited about it. And I hope people that listen, people that hear about it also will be very excited about it. I want to thank you for all the time and effort that you've put into making this happen. I mean, I can't imagine how much effort and time you've put into this. So I greatly appreciate that.
Yeah, no, it's been a journey for sure. It was actually not as hard as I thought it was going to be, only because our profession is just so awesome, you know, like, especially, I feel like there's a special soft spot on Convo. Like everybody who does OMM just loves convocation. So it's not a heavy lift to say, hey, will you come speak at Convo? They're like, oh my God, I would love to speak at Convo. You know, you don't have to pull teeth to say, hey, come talk at convocation. So everyone I've approached has just been so gracious and willing to give their time and talk about what they love. And, you know, that was for me, you know, really important to sort of be a platform to let these folks who have these really big passion projects talk about the thing that they're passionate about so that we get their best, you know, it's like we're getting them talking about the thing they care about. So I am really excited to see what people bring for this conference.
Yeah. And I'm excited to hear about it. How many people are you expecting?
So last year was a pretty high attendance. I want to say it was around 1200 or so that were in attendance at convocation at the Broadmoor. Yeah. This year again is at the Broadmoor. And I think we're expecting to be at least that much, if not more. So, you know, to me, sky's the limit. Let's go. You know, if we can get more, 1500, 1800, you know, let's go for it. I want to make it happen. And hopefully this is the program that does it, right?
Yeah, I'm excited. March 6th through the 10th, Broadmoor, Colorado Springs. Here we come.
Be there or be square. Right?
That's right. If people have questions, comments, can they reach out to you on your email?
Of course. Happy to. Sajid.survey@unthsc.edu. I'm happy to hear from you. And, you know, whatever questions you got, let me have them.
Yep. And I'll include that in the show notes. So thanks so much for your time, Dr. Survey. It's always a joy and a pleasure to talk to you and appreciate what you're doing for our profession.
Thanks so much, Ben, for having me and for letting me talk about convocation. This is a topic I obviously care very deeply about. So appreciated the opportunity to talk about it.
Absolutely. And we will see you in the Broadmoor March 6th through the 10th.
Yes. See you there.
Okay. Take care, Dr. Servi. Have a great evening. See you all at the Broadmoor in March to learn about maximizing human performance. If you have any questions for Dr. Servi, you may email him at sajid.servi@untsc.edu. You can find his email in the show notes. If you have any questions, comments, or would like to be on the podcast, email onmmpodcast@gmail.com.